The goal is to bring you your next favorite band.
Thanks for having us. This is a very cool show.
Yeah, so through many iterations, and we finally landed on the weirdest one by far.
Yeah, a couple of feelings, and boom, you got a sound.
I remember this one time. I had been writing some songs, and I went out. I'm just going right in on this story. I went out, and so I was.
The story's longer than the song itself. We'll go ahead and play it.
And listen, it's going to be everybody's favorite band. Welcome to your next favorite band. That's both the show title and our promise to you. We here at Stereophilia Studio are tireless in our pursuit of finding incredible, genre-defiant artists who are either a hot, up-and-coming band or a group that has been delivering for years but have flown under the radar.
Tonight we bring you the duality of fresh indie rock mixed with the familiar, feel-good, beachy tones of Easy Honey.
Each month, we will bring you live streams, audio podcasts, and perhaps even a live concert where you can listen to the stories and hear the music of artists personally curated by us based on what we feel will be worthy of your time. Be sure to subscribe and tune in to each episode because the possibilities are endless, and you never know who will be
your next favorite band.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Philip Reese.
Hello, and I'm your co-host, David Moore.
And you are listening to
your next favorite band.
And we've got a great one tonight, one we heard from Music Fest, one of those beautiful Music Fest next faves for everybody.
Perfect space to see it, perfect time of year to see them.
Oh, for sure.
And them being Easy Honey.
Easy Honey. So we will bring them on shortly, but did want to touch on a few things here. Listen to the Dissonance event is coming up soon, Sunday, February the 4th.
Yeah, we're a couple weeks out from that at this point in time.
Yeah, less than two.
Yeah, less than two. Math, I can do it.
Real quick, so I kind of just wanted to bring up, so our site, nextfaveband.com, so you can see here. If you get to the site and you click on event, you'll come to this page, tickets right there. You can learn about the artists. You can check out the interviews we did with them previously. You can see the organizations that it also supports, Backline and NAMI, and where it is. And again, the big reminder here is a lot of our stuff, I shouldn't say a lot, all of our stuff until now was kind of simulcast. We both had it as an in-person event and we live streamed it. This one's only going to be in person. Okay. And we can't promise that the best moments will get kind of part of the highlights because of the sensitive nature of things. Like for the first part, we're trying to create a safe space, but also we're also trying to create where it may not translate. Like, you know, it may be something that you kind of quote had to be there for. So highly recommend that if you are, you know, within, you know, driving distance and ability to get to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, you consider, joining us for that day. It should be a really, really special day.
It should be a great show. It's going to be really great conversation. It's going to be really great music. So, you know, stay for the conversation, listen to the music, stay for the conversation, whatever way floats your boat.
Yeah.
That'll be a good day for it. It's not an expensive ticket. We're charging $10 at the door.
Yeah.
And
none of it is for us. It's for the musicians and for the organization.
Correct. So the proceeds will cover basically the musicians and basically to the two organizations we're supporting for this event.
Yeah. Yeah. And news outlets are starting to get a word of it. So we were recently in Lehigh Valley News. John Moser did a wonderful piece on it. And just this past weekend, we were back on. It's kind of funny. We saw Easy Honey on the Saturday, the first Saturday of Music Fest, which was this imposter moment where I was on WFMZ to talk about Music Fest earlier that day, that first Saturday of Music Fest. And then they invited us back this past weekend. We were back on to talk about Listen to the Dissonance. So really appreciate what Bo does there and for having us back and hopefully people like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's great that the local media is picking up on it, and I hope other people are picking up on it. I think it's going to be a great time. It's at a great place. The Ice House in Bethlehem is such an interesting and cool venue
Absolutely.
And room to have a show in.
Yeah, that is a key part to this as well, is it is a wonderful space and people who don't know of it should, and people who do know of it will definitely want to get back in there. So yeah, listen to The Dissonance, Sunday, February 4th. Please join us. More info is out there and to come. But let's get to our guests for tonight. Easy Honey, we'll share some music here. This is something we had shared. Actually, they were one of our, kind of like picks of the plots, and we had shared this song then. Then it was awesome live. Heard another, their whole catalog is great. But this is the song called Steady in Vertigo, and it's by Easy Honey.
I'm looking for a pair of shoes, something that I can really sink my feet into. Doctors that I need support in my life. I figure what I got to lose, but my own stride. Steady in Vertigo.
Easy Honey was born out of the small town, innocent college days, the days of walking home under the starry night and springing under the watchful eye of sunny graveyards, Dairy Queens, and neo-Gothic cathedrals. Easy Honey's witty melodies dotted with catchy hooks serve as anthems of nostalgia for their indie rock audience of daydreamers and night seekers. Drawing inspiration from the originality and attitude of The Kinks, The Replacement, and Radiohead, the band's raucous yet sentimental live show exemplifies the realness that people crave. The band's latest EP, landed itself on numerous popular playlists and precedes more releases from the band under the direction of producer Wolfgang Zimmerman. Co-frontmen Darby McGlone and Selby Austin share writing and singing duties, while Charlie Holt and Webster Austin provide a rhythm section which complements and personifies interwoven electric guitars. When not touring, the band lives in Charleston, South Carolina, leading the way in the rapidly growing music scene there and surfing Folly Beach when home.
Excellent, excellent. Welcome to the show, Selby and Webster.
Hey there. How we doing, guys?
Thanks for joining us.
We're going to leave the visualizer here on Steady the Vertigo in the background, and we'll get to chat with you.
Awesome. But, thanks for having us on.
Oh, thanks for joining us. Like we were talking about before we came on, you're like the kind of band that both David and I and many other people cherish Music Fest for. It's basically a music discovery playground, and you can find these incredible artists that you may have never, ever had an other chance to find. The only other way it ever really happens outside of Music Fest is the opener for somebody else who you knew, and you're like, wait, they were great too. So, but like Music Fest is just this, cornucopia of amazing music, and it's what we're all about, and it's where the majority of our kind of like pipeline of interviews come from. So thank you for being a part of that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about this song right off the top here, because from what I understood, it was a different song for you when it was being created, because it was laid down in tracks in the studio and it wasn't exactly clicking as quickly or as fast as your other music, but it ends up becoming one of the songs you guys love playing more than any others live. Yeah. Now it's like must have been a labor of love, but I just wanted to kind of take a moment to kind of maybe talk about that song a little bit.
Yeah, we really love we love that song, and it's super. You're totally right. It's one that's definitely a hit live with us and with our fans. But I think what had changed when we recorded that song was, in the past, we had always rehearsed really heavily before going into the studio.
Sure.
We Okay, we know we have 20 songs and we're going to go and cut them all, and we're going to do them in a day, and then pick 10, and then finish 10.
And that's a pretty common thing with bands, like getting the most out of studio time with their first kind of stuff. But
Nailed stuff that I did in my past. That was always the thing. Rehearsal time was free. That was in the garage of somebody's house. So you would go in there as tight as you possibly could and try and get as many in the time frame you had.
Totally.
Well, it's funny how the pendulum swings, because I feel like we're ready to go do that again, to just more, because like all these recordings are just like a timestamp of a band. You know what I mean? Like what the band sounded like. But what we were doing, it kind of was happening as the band really started touring post pandemic, because we had just gone on our first tour pre pandemic, like even just a little run up the down the East Coast. pandemic happened, and then Webster joined the band, and pretty much we weren't able to book a bunch of days of studio time, you know, blocked off, right? So what we were doing is we would go in for 2 days and then work on two songs and then go tour for like 3 or 4 weeks and then come back and work again. And it was fun because the band was getting tighter. We were growing as people, growing as musicians. So we, you know, every time we'd come back to the studio, we would have a little, you know, kind of a new story to tell, or, you know, maybe a little something new to say, you know. But that one was, yeah, multi-tracked in that way. And I think it came pretty easily in the studio. We definitely had some harder ones, but, yeah, I not to get too nerdy about the studio.
No, we love nerdy. Go ahead. Go.
Yeah. Deep dive.
Our friend Paul mixed that one, Paul Nederostik. And I love the mix on that song. He just really put it together. The kick drum, just it sounds modern in a cool way to me, you know, with a little touch of obviously kind of the Beatles influence that we can't shake. Yes. The 60s, 70s influence that are so like ingrained in, I think, all of us in the band.
Yeah.
Yeah. The two things that I was noticing, and it's, I was going to bring this up later, but it fits perfectly here, is it did sound like the first couple albums, releases of yours were cleaner because I think it was pandemic. So you had the time to sit there and really make it that way. And then where this transitions does sound more live, I guess might be the best way to phrase it, because it doesn't sound unclean. It just sounds like it's a little bit more organic. And it's probably because of what you were talking about. It's this, we're now gigging and wanting to get back out on the road. So I have less time to polish this off, but actually it's a sound I prefer. Like it's probably why I was drawn to that song, because it has a little bit more of that kind of organic, raw, like a live show versus a studio recording. And so that was the one thing.
That's so interesting. One,
yeah. And then the one about the sound, because I keep hearing people reference the Beatles. I was a little bit more on the way that Oasis gets referred to the Beatles. And to me, it was like, you sound like Oasis's kids who went to the States and went to college. Like, you know, it's like that evolution of Beatles to Oasis to Easy Honey. Like, it's kind of the way that I kind of would categorize it.
We're always looking for like a good Instagram, like tagline, or kind of, you know, like that might be it. Be like Liam and Noel's children who went to college in the States.
Yeah. Right. That's what I think it to me, that's the way I would describe it. Cause we also hate putting anything into a genre bucket here. We always like to describe it stuff like that. So that was the way I was trying to describe to my buddies who wanted to know what you sounded like. And that's the way I put it. It was like, it's Oasis's kids who went to the States for university.
I think the one thing that you would add is, and learn to surf, because there's a shimmeriness to it that I think
yes.
comes through. That is the extra, like, and then we went to the West Coast for a little while and somebody handed us some Beach Boys albums.
Yeah, or Foley Beach. Speaking of which, I've actually stayed at the Tides at Foley Beach. I've been there before.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, my brother lives in Charleston, and we celebrated my mother's 80th birthday in that town, and we stayed at the Tides at Foley Beach. So who knows? I might have been watching you guys surf that day.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, well, when you come down next time, we'll get you out on a board. Just come in the summer, so we're not putting on wetsuits. But
it works for me. Sure. I would love to. Charleston's a wonderful city. And actually, let's talk about that for a second before we get into the band's history. It's a thriving music scene. It's really on the uprise. So like, tell us a little bit more about that town. I don't know if you noticed, but in our opening, one of the earliest interviews we did was Whitehall, the band. And, and they're in our like quotes for the opening there. So like, we're big fans of the music scene there.
Super cool. You want to take it?
Look, this one...
I should probably take this one.
Yeah, you need to take this one. I normally talk the most, but he's on a roll.
I got the magic wand right now.
You have the talking guitar.
Yeah, exactly. I think what it comes down to about a town with a good music scene is if there's like a 50 to 100 cap room, and then there's a 200 cap room, and a 300 to 500 cap room, and a 1,000 cap room. And when we tour, you know, sometimes we go to these, there's maybe some cities, maybe like in the Midwest, or like maybe it's like, I don't know. I don't want to speak I don't want to say anything incorrect, but like, I don't know, like Tulsa, for example, like, it's like, just that progression has a really nice effect on, because everyone wants to go to a show that feels good. No one wants to go to a 500 cap room, and you know, but it's unexpected that, you know, when you're a local band, you bring 20 to 50 people, like you want that to feel good in a room.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also remember, so we grew up in Memphis, we're brothers, and, you know, Memphis has so much music history, and, you know, Nashville being right there. But when I lived here for a summer, unrelated to music, just living, just kind of experiencing life and just working in the summer, I just was amazed by like some of the bands I was seeing in this rock club called Royal American. And it just really inspired me. It seemed like people here really cared in a cool way that I wasn't feeling about kind of maybe, you know, like when we had been in Nashville and, you know, growing up in Memphis and stuff. So,
well, what's special about that place, it's called the Royal American, like you said, and we try to find this place in every town because it's just, it's a great place for bands who are out of town. Yeah. It's like a built-in crowd, but a built-in crowd that, you know, like cares and is there to listen and hang out.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like, I don't really know too much about the history of like CBGBs or something.
Sure.
David Byrne's book, I haven't read it, but someone told me like how to create a scene is let the musicians come in free and then they'll hang out there all the time. And like, you know, I think we paid the other night.
Yeah, we definitely paid like two nights ago. Yeah.
But you know, the venue across town, I guess. No, it's kind of random, but it's that vibe, and it's just a great place, and that's kind of at least where the indie scene is. But I think to your point, the progression of the scene here with having those ladder rungs of places to move up to is
very true. I hadn't thought of it that way, but that's true, because also even it allows that group, that musician, to keep coming back to that city and see themselves progress as it's part of a kind of tour that they're like, oh, I can keep going back to that city instead of I've either outgrown it or the next leap goes from 100 cap to 500 cap and I can't do it. So now I'm going to go to this city that's 30 minutes away. I don't know where to stay. I don't know where to eat. Like, you know, it's like I can see that being where it helps the scene thrive if you have that progression for the person who's touring as well as for the audience members.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we get skipped on national acts a lot of the time because it's just a little bit out of the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We get some problem. That was a pretty sweet acts at the stadium. We don't get skipped all the time, but that's the only downside of this city is what I tell people is from a touring standpoint, you got to drive an hour. You got to drive an hour to get up on the, you know, get out, you know, because we're on the coast, you know, as far as, you know, Folly Beach, the edge of America. Right.
So so yeah, let's get in. So you don't start in Charleston, you end up there. Where you actually start is in Sewanee University.
Yeah.
And basically from what I understand, you, Selby, and Darby, and then you steal Charlie from another band while at college. I figure I need to put on a radio voice for this one. The tagline for Sewanee is the University of the South. Like that's badass. Like I didn't know that. That's a cool tagline for them.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes I like omit that, and then because I'll just like say Sewanee College, and then Charlie will nudge me and be like, "Dude, it's not a college. It's it's a university. It makes you seem like you didn't go to like community college or something." No, it's a super small school. It's about 2,000 people, and it's up in the middle of nowhere. And it's, you know, make your own fun. There's no bars or anything. It's like people just get together and you have fun. And it was a great place to write original music and get to try original music because it's a little bit like shooting fish in a barrel because everyone was just so stoked. They're like, oh, man, you guys are playing music? Like, I'm in, you know? So that was a great way for us to kind of like, you know, just
gain some confidence in original songs.
Yeah.
And with that, if I got it right here, Selby, you and Darby kind of hit it off pretty quickly, kind of at parties, but either you asked him or he asked you, do you really play the guitar?
Yeah, like, that's right. That's right. Yeah. He recalls it that way. I'm sure I said something like that, but the way what Darby says is he says that, I had been like looking for some musician to play with, and clearly I was unsatisfied with the level of, talent that I was encountering. And but what was funny is like Darby did play guitar, but like just honestly about it is he's so melody driven, he's so good at melodies.
And that just comes naturally. It's hard to teach somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And he just was better at lead. And I was a solid rhythm player then. And that's how a lot of the early, that's like kind of like for me, a really fun quintessential Easy Honey song is like, I'll come in, lay something down. He lays down a little melody. We write a song together. And that's how a lot of the early ones were and kind of how the band started getting going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the transition, you were just talking about it, like, you can play original music and people like it, but this was another quote that I saw you guys had was to go from like college, frat parties or just playing for people who to transition to like being a professional musician. I love this quote. You were like, you can't tell how shitty your original music is because like you were saying how if you do a cover, those types of people will know if you did it good or bad. But if you're playing original music, they're not the type of people who know whether it's good or bad. It's when you go out to that actual scene where you suddenly get to figure out, is this good or isn't it? And I guess that must be a scary moment, but clearly your stuff is great. So,
yeah, I don't know if you guys are like, I don't know how much this is well known, but like even like large acts, what they'll do is like, they'll go and they'll play maybe some private parties on the tour to help fund the tour,
Right.
And that's something that we're definitely not strangers to. But I can say we have like successfully played our original music to like zero frowns for anybody at any of these private parties. And yeah, we've thrown in covers and stuff and we definitely did more in the early days. But I think that maybe the quote you're referencing was something our producer was telling us. Or maybe this just makes me think of it. But it's like, we were talking about playing covers in a set, and I'd love to hear what y'all's opinion on this is, but because I've gone back and forth about it, but it's like two things can happen when you play a cover as an original band. It's like, one, it's better than your original music. And it's like, and everyone's like, wow, that was way better. Right. Or two, it's not as good and it stinks. And it's like, why did you play it then? So I would love to know what you guys think about when y'all hear artists cover songs and sets.
I famously like tell people I'm more talking about sometimes there's a band who comes in and they have original music, but they've split their set halfy, like 50% of it is covers. And I'm always like, one or two covers is more than enough for me. Like I would rather hear all your original stuff. What I really like is when you do a cover of a song in your style. So like if you grabbed something else that didn't sound like that and brought it into the Easy Honey style, I think that would be cool. Like, don't do something that already sounds like it, like Beatles or Oasis or something. Go grab something else and then do it in your kind of, reconstructed way.
We're totally on the same page. It's taken us a second to get kind of back to that, but that's what it's all about is like just trying to find something and do it your way. You know?
Dave, what's your take on the cover song?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're going to do a cover song, you have to bring something to it. Right. And so that's the do it your way kind of thing. You have to show up with both the song, which has integrity already its own. People are familiar with certain parts of it. And then you want to make it sound like it's the band performing that song, not just playing the parts of, as you referenced, the Beatles or the Oasis. Mm-hmm. And I also like ones where people will play either something that is clearly, an influence on them, and that I don't have a qualm with, or something that completely comes out of left field. Right. I've heard bluegrass band cover Super Freak by Rick James. And it was like one of those moments where your brain sort of like lights up because you're like, this makes no sense and all of the sense at the same time.
That's so good.
Yeah. 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 Or like the deep cut, like if you want to grab somebody, super famous and you're going to do the song that's like, eighth on the album and was never released as a single, where some people won't even know it's a cover. It's just like, wow, I don't even know what that was. But the cover thing is a tough one because you do want to play a crowd pleaser, but you want them to enjoy your stuff, not someone else's. So I think you're doing the right thing there. So then at college ends and you go and record an album in Nashville and basically realize, I guess, the oversaturation of those different markets and head to Charleston. Is that the way that plays out a little bit, or maybe you want to speak to that part?
Yeah. So our older brother, is a pretty experienced musician and really produced the first album for us and got us in his basement for the, you know, a couple of days. And we did pre-production and everything and got, and like, you know, that's what I was talking about. Get on the, you know, go, we were literally cutting songs to CDs. Like that's, that was his method of like, that's how he could record. So we would like track two songs. The CD would be burned up. We'd go and listen to it in the car. Okay, let's go change this. Like, and so we did that for a couple of days and then went and tracked everything in 3 days. And like the whole intent there, like, I don't even know if we were just trying to take a CD to Charleston to be able to go hand to some bars, send to a booking agency. And what's been fun is, you know, we didn't realize that we were just one, you know, capturing us, you know, or, you know, taking a snapshot of the band at that time and these songs that we had written, kind of everything that we had pulled together. And that kind of, you know, cause we really didn't get going until our last year at Swanee, as far as like getting anything really going. And, but yeah, we went and recorded it and then came to Charleston and, felt at home and felt like, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of rambling. Anything to add on that? Well, the full circle moment, you know, talking about the covers and then talking about what was the other thing and how we record, if it's multi-tracked or live or
sure. I mean,
everything is a pendulum swing. I don't know if that's exclusive to music, but just life, like, hey, I'm going to go over to this area and search here. I don't know if this is it. I'm going to go search the other way. And at least as far as Nashville is concerned, they did their first one there. That was before I was in the band. Did one here.
Yeah.
Kind of changed how you did them. Yeah. Then did some EPs, kind of changed here. But the full circle moment is we were in Nashville a lot, met up with a friend from our hometown in Memphis who he went to Belmont and he was, I kind of famously say this, he's one of those Belmont kids who actually is like stuck with it. And actually is like still in the scene. Like a lot of the Belmont kids get burnout pretty quickly. Sure. And then super talented and super, not just talented like a robot, but like super hip to like what's going on and an artist himself. And we reconnected with him. And so we kind of recorded that stuff around, but spent a ton of time in Nashville. And the joke with that was just like, anyone he'd introduce us to in the scene there was like, oh, like, you're cool just because you're not from here and like doing it. And
we're like, y'all are cool. And they were like, no, you're cool. Just, you know,
like, whereas if they had gone there straight, it would have been like, no, you're my competitor and like get out of Nashville. And that's just not the way to grow or thrive. And I think it's Charleston was just like that perfect kind of trajectory. And thinking of the city now, if it's, you know, the real estate prices going through the roof.
Sure.
And their apartment buildings getting built literally, I think, next door to that venue we were talking about, Royal American, huge apartment buildings. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of seeing that as people like, hey, maybe they'll like our music when once they move in. And
right.
Free concert every night.
Yeah. You know, in that sense, but
yeah. So the catalog now includes two full lengths and two EPs, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Obviously some of it's released as singles and stuff, but you might be able to use the axe there to play a song tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you kind of like full screen here. We'll come off and then you can kind of describe the song, intro it and play it. And then we'll come back on after that.
Okay, cool. Okay, this song's called Spells, and I wrote this one in my frog furnished room above garage that I was living in about a year ago, maybe a little bit more than a year ago.
Tinsel twang and the gals and all what they said, it's cracked up to be. They ask me how I go from town to town,
I tell them slowly. Beer cans full on immense and the sunsets kissing softly. I never fell in line with what other people think of me. Quiet hum of the bugs and singing creek, it's so damn real. Your Outlook inbox and your yellow pad making big money feels. I've got no meetings to make with a girl who loves me so damn well. I'm not an outlaw today, but a dedicated searcher for spells. Have you found your spell? Have you found your spell? Found your spell? Love and laugh that we have may be the only thing that's worth living. Cause it can fill those cracks in your whole life that keep you tripping. Beer cans from ornaments and the sunsets kissing softly. I'm not an outlaw today, but a dedicated searcher for spells. Have you found your spell? Have you found your spell? Have you found your spell?
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was gorgeous. Totally different version than, you know, what you'll find on the streaming platforms and obviously probably also with the full band. That was really nice.
Thanks. Yeah. I think we had just like started listening to The Cure maybe when we went and tracked that one. To our defense, I don't think Darby was listening to The Cure, and he's the guy who came up with the, whatever that the hook, right, the right, actual right. hook, the actual yeah, right. hook. The song.
Well, again, it's the mel. It's he's the master of melodies, but just want to do a couple quick hitters here. Did you have some?
I just wanted to appreciate that Webster knew all the words himself.
Yes, that's right.
You don't usually get that from everybody in the band. I appreciate the effort.
Oh, yeah, Web's been...
I sing a good amount. I don't sing on that song, but I love the words. That's a great lyrical one.
Yeah. And David is also is a bassist as a musician, so there's an extra appreciation there, too.
Yep, we've got to stick together. We've got them outnumbered. Let's go.
That's true.
Finally, time we bust out Big Bottoms. We always have that chance.
So just some quick hitters here. Everyone, from what I read, the songwriting has like an appreciation for change in the song and then also duality. And I just think there's a lot of this duality. That's why in the opening we talked about how it's, you know, fresh indie rock balanced with that kind of familiar beachy sound. The name, Easy Honey, there's probably no such thing as Easy Honey. Steady in Vertigo. Like there's all these things where it's this kind of like juxtaposition of things. And I just kind of wanted to give you a moment to speak to that.
Do you want to take that?
Yeah, it's funny. It's kind of an ongoing joke, but about, we call it the contradiction.
Sure.
But it really is. It's just like finding that, I don't know if it's the easiest way, but it's like we're trying to bring the news and what we do. And that's what interests us about, you know, all of our favorite artists is like, what is the unexpected? And, you know, a lot of the times, like with, you know, huge famous acts like the Beatles or something, it's like, yeah, they're the Beatles. But before they were that, they were this contradiction, like they were these guys, but they were wearing Japanese, you know, women styled outfits with the shoulders down that, I guess it was, is Brian Epstein their manager?
Yes. Yeah.
Epstein got them to wear. And so, yeah, we love to lean into that. And, and that's just where that's kind of where we find.
And one more great quote that you had about your music, was that it's music to make love to and to break up to. So I was like, at the same time, that's interesting.
I love that you got the whole thing about the Easy Honey, because, you know, when we made the name, you know, we just needed, and Darby and I were driving up from the little town down in the Tennessee Valley where you had to go to the Walmart or wherever, go get a barbecue sandwich. And we were driving back up. I think we saw it on a billboard and we loved it. But I was with one of my best friends, probably my best friend, down, and his family's from Beaufort, South Carolina. And his dad grew up down there, and, you know, he's a pretty conservative Southern guy.
Sure.
And, I don't know if he approved of, you know, my, you know, going full on artist, you know, thing, but we were sitting there talking and he was wading out in the water, you know, and it was like the scene from like Prince of Tides or like, you know, I don't know, like some, but anyway, he was like, well, there's nothing easy about honey. And I was like, you know, that is the damn truth about life. Like that is, cause you're always looking for that special thing and, you know, kind of those intangible moments. And, but yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the duality honestly comes from, like, you know, I don't know a band that gets along as well as we do, but we all are also so different. And I think that's probably what contributes to a lot of it, especially me and Darby, you know, like just from kind of a song. I think you've pointed out how, like, you know, on the EP, he was talking about a lot of like ethereal, cosmic things. And I was talking about like veggie melt, you know, veggie patty melts and stuff in my lyrics. Yeah. And so like,
I mean, we're so alike, but anyone you spend a lot of time with too, like, we used to look a lot alike, but when we started spending more time in the band together, now no one recognizes us as brothers.
Right.
Everyone in the drive-thru would see it immediately. That always, since we were growing up,
we've had people spend like days with us, like a week, and they don't even know we're brothers. I'm like, this is crazy. This is that is extreme. Like,
it is interesting the way that where things start and where they end, or progress, I should say. It's not ending. The other topic I wanted to give you a moment to speak to is environmentalism being very important to you all. I also saw that Darby even studied this when he was at university. So just speaking to that, and, you know, obviously it should be important to everybody, but just how it kind of inspires you and either in song or in action or whatever.
Yeah. The story with that was kind of, at least for the surf tour, it was a pretty natural story of how it came about with,
I think just backing up even on the base, I think on the base level, we all grew up in that. We all grew up doing a lot of outdoor stuff.
Sure.
Just super basic, you know, like we grew up at kind of outside in the country in Memphis, like Charlie kind of grew up doing stuff outside. Darby's from up in the wilderness in Connecticut. You know, I mean, straight up the Shire. I didn't know that existed. The Shire exists in Northwest Connecticut. Didn't know it did. But it's something we really care about. And you know, to be honest, before we wanted to incorporate something more to the touring, you know, because like, not that it felt like too self-centered, but it just, it felt good to try to do something bigger, you know, with our music. And, you know, I had never done a beach cleanup till we did the first one. And it amazed me. It just like, it blew my mind about, how easy it was to find stuff, you know, and to find the trash to pick up. And, I think kind of my little two cents about that is like, it's not about the 800 or, you know, 2,000 pounds of trash we picked up this summer, but it's about the person that saw you do it, that they, you know, they stop and say, what are you doing? You know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's just, yeah, it's just something we're all really passionate about. And it's something that we could all agree on getting behind. And, sure. And that was something really cool for us, I think, to finally kind of find, you know, because we're not necessarily all like out there picketing at every, you know, political protest or like, you know, X, Y, and Z, but it's sure. like, that's something that we are really all passionate about and just wanted, you know, band to take part in.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where like, it doesn't have to be a politics. It's still a good idea to pick up trash and yes. be a good steward of the planet. Like it's just, there's yeah. some things about it that just don't need to be both sides, you know, like it's like, it's just some of this stuff is a good idea to do and let's stop arguing and just do those. And we'll worry about that other stuff another day.
Philip, I think that was so well put.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah, we do an event ourselves around Earth Day called the No Planet B Jamboree, and it's kind of basically built around what can you do? Like that whole like think globally but act locally. Like not only is it not about all that other stuff, but it's also just about you'll get overwhelmed if you try and solve the entire problem. It's not Absolutely. About that. It's like just what can you do in your own community and what can you do to make a little bit of a difference? Because then if everybody does that, it makes the big difference. But
right, totally.
We'll get off this.
I've yeah. always, like, you always hear the different, like, you know, do work around you, but I don't know if you coined that, but that's.
No, that's out there. I can't take credit for that.
patent pending on that.
Right, yeah, no. Registered
trademark.
Yes, no, listen, whatever would get somebody motivated to do more, that's what we always build our in-person live events around something rather than it be just about the music. It's going to be about something bigger than that. And then the music just kind of supports it. So would love to know offline if you have a particular song or music or anything that you have dedicated to kind of that theme, because we would love to feature it when we get to April around that episode. So
lovely.
Cool. So one other thing before we kind of say goodbye and promote some stuff for you, you do also have this desire that obviously you have like this, the songwriting and the honesty and the duality, but when you come to live music, you want to tear the place down. So we saw you play live at Music Fest. You did tear the place down. I have a recording here of Gotta Get Back. So I'm going to play that for a little bit and then I'm going to bring it down because I'd love to hear your thoughts on just about Music Fest and Bethlehem in general. But
cool.
But here's Gotta Get Back by Easy Honey at Music Fest 2023. Here comes a ripping solo. Here where everyone's singing and playing, we get to see the full kind of charisma of the band. So what did you think of our festival?
It was lovely. It really was. You know, funny enough, there's a Shell pavilion. There's a Levitt Shell in Memphis that we grew up going to.
Oh yeah.
Huh, interesting.
I think there's like 8 or 9 of them in the country.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I know Denver has one.
But yeah, like the festival just seemed exactly what we're all about. And it's like just good people, you know, like with an open mind, ready to, you know, hear some new music. And like when I looked out there, I could tell there was a tension, you know, the audience was attentive. Yeah, we were just so ready to play. That was the last show of our tour. We were pumped to play and like had a lot of energy and like it's so fun playing on a big stage with like the big subs. Like, yeah, I don't know. We just had a blast.
Yeah, and these like these moments in music is I think where the real Beatles '60s vibe kind of really gets attributed. This is I would say this is the gateway song for you all. I think this is the one that most people listen to and love it the first time and then want to hear the rest of the catalog. So I was super pumped to be able to capture it on a recording.
Well, thanks for capturing it. That's so cool. Yeah, and I totally agree with you. Like, we've heard this a lot, but people are like, they come to the shows and they're like, dude, like the live thing is, you know, so a lot of people are like, the live thing is so much better than the record. Like, I love the live thing. And so, that's kind of what we do. We play live and like, we are a live band. It's something that we're totally okay with. Kind of like, we can be artists like in both senses, but yeah, we definitely come to make you feel and to, you know, to also kind of throw a little bit of a party for the live show. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Put on a show. Absolutely. Also, I appreciate that you were all wearing jeans. That was filmed in early August.
Yes.
It was like 92 hot. Degrees outside at that point. So, I mean, I appreciate your commitment.
Was Darby wearing jeans?
I don't know, but recently I was wearing jeans. That is hilarious. Yeah.
I know you guys need to run, but before we do that, let's bring up your site so that we can kind of have people kind of check out easyhoneymusic.com. This is the home page. Ooh, how fun is that?
See, you said the title when you did it. You even said the EP title. So,
yep. And is it ooh?
I don't know if it was Philip or David who was reading at the start of the show, but whoever said that nailed it. That was great.
That was David. He always nails it. And then let's just pull up the tour. We're doing this as a pre-record right before you hit tour. So by the time this airs, if you were in Tallahassee, Jacksonville, or Gainesville, sorry. But this is about to happen. But here's a good tour through Florida, Georgia, South Carolina. You got some hometown shows there in Charleston. A lot of great shows coming up. So, if you get the chance, if you're in any of these areas, definitely go see Easy Honey.
Yeah. And come say hi. And, we can even recap this interview.
Philip, we'll see you at 13th Street. Okay. So, you know, bring your bathing suit. Don't be a stranger. Yes. Don't be a stranger. We'll see you here. And, you know, hopefully we'll get up. I think we're looking at getting back to Bethlehem this summer for some kind of a summer series or something. So we'll definitely.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that if you were coming up this way, because even if it's Philly or New York, we can make that stuff happen. But we always love sucking people back into Bethlehem.
Oh, yeah. It was so wonderful. It was such a beautiful festival. And just like it was a beautiful night. Who did we see that night? Who was headlining at that stage?
Devin Allman, I think.
It was Devin Allman. And,
That's what he was doing 50 shows in 49 days or something like that.
Yeah,
that was one in every state.
That was show two of the tour, and it was the second one that day.
Yeah,
that he did.
Yeah, they did Baltimore, I think, or something in Maryland.
Yeah, and then
they
came up
to us, and then continued on from there and did basically one show in every state in less than 50 days or something like that, and broke the Guinness record.
That is amazing. I don't know if we really fully appreciated recognizing that we were witnessing like
you
that.
Did. You witnessed history.
The second show.
You can add that to your bio.
Technically day one.
That's right, exactly. Selby, Webster, thank you so much for joining the show. Please pass on our love of your music to Darby and Charlie as well. Have a great tour. And everybody, check out Easy Honey along all the platforms. We'll tag all of your socials and the website and like Spotify and stuff in the show notes.
Wonderful. That really means so much. For y'all to do what y'all do and to take the care that y'all have and y'all have created such a great show. We're honored to be on it and thanks for checking it out.
Yeah. And actually my personal favorite song of yours is we always play one last song after the credits. So after we say goodbye to you and we kind of close out the show, we play one more song and it's Leo. I love that song.
Cool.
Yeah. So everybody stay tuned for that. But anyway, travel safe and hope to see you perform live soon.
Thanks so cheers, much. Cheers. Cheers. See you guys soon.
Have a good one. David.
Philip.
Easy Honey.
It's never easy, the honey.
But great music.
Oh, fantastic music.
Yeah.
It's great stuff. It is a band that you can put on, as you mentioned. There's especially a couple of their tracks that are really sort of like they have a hook right away mm-hmm. that people are like, wait, what is that? And you go, well, it's funny that you mentioned that. Allow me to show mm-hmm. you the other information that you should learn about this band.
Correct.
Conveniently, there's an interview I can show you.
And I do think they fit what the show, what our show is about. Like that's, are like, could be, you know, the poster child for your next favorite band. Like, you know, just that kind of easy listening, easy hook, very obvious, you know, talent, but then also this love of music. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved playing the recording for Music Fest because, you know, that gives you a sense of who they are on stage. They're having such a great time and it comes through in their music, but to see it with your own eyes and to witness that live show is just great.
Well, I think they even talked about the duality. I like the fact that they have sort of the live energy factor. There's a bit of a performance, a show, you know, the going on. And at the same time in the studio, there's these well-crafted, you know, they said something, they're recording live to right to the thing. But when they've had the chance, they've done these well-crafted things. And there's a great that both of those things sit side by side. And it's still yet the same band. You get it, both the flavor all the time.
All right, Phil, let's say goodbye to everybody.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Your Next Favorite Band. We'd like to sincerely thank Selby Austin and Webster Austin of Easy Honey for joining us tonight, for sharing all of the stories about the history of the band, the songwriting process, the duality that they seem to love and embrace. We would like to encourage you to check out their music, to check out their socials. If you can see them play live, they are wonderful. We will connect links in the show notes to all of their information so that you can find that stuff very, very easily. As always, our hope here is to bring you your next favorite band. If you already knew Easy Honey and tuned in today to catch the interview, thank you so much. I hope you liked it and that you might consider liking, following, and subscribing to our channel wherever you're catching this, either the live streams or the podcast version, so that we can bring you your next favorite band in a future episode. Also out on nextfaveband.com is all of our prior interviews. Your next favorite band may already be out there, and you just got to go find it. We have some great stuff coming up here, and we've gone on a really nice string of excellent episodes. So thank you for coming along for the ride there, and lots more great stuff to come. One of the things in particular is that Listening to the Dissonance that we really hope you can come and join us for on February 4th. It's a Sunday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's five amazing artists who are going to tell very brave stories and share the inspiring music that stemmed from all of that. So please subscribe, like, follow, give us a rating, and hope to see you at a live show soon. Don't forget to stay tuned for one more song by Easy Honey. Here comes Leo, my personal favorite of theirs.
Another sunny day. Play dead. I'ma treat you all the same. Pace around this old house, looking for a way outside. Guys.
want you.